And he took to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very seriously, because this is Lord Brahma, and he's in this very, very deep mood of wanting to actually be constantly immersed in the taste and the sweetness of chanting. And so he was, as we know, he went to live in Benapole and other places. He was tested by the Ramachandra Khan, who sent the prostitute in the night to try to break his mood of chanting. And in every situation, Haridas Thakur remained extraordinarily saintly and calm. And finally, there was one Qazi who was really envious of him, the fact that he was a Muslim and he was in this way accepting the Dharma of Hindus as they received. And so they tried him, they took him to court, and they tried him that you should take back your Muslim faith and stop this Hare Krishna chanting. This is the practice of the Hindus. But Haridas Thakur was completely, totally unmoved, and very, very gentle, though. And he told him that you can do anything to me, but I will never, ever, ever stop chanting Hare Krishna. So the Qazi was so envious and so angry that he convinced them that what they should do is beat him until they kill him. This was the appropriate punishment for somebody who had given up their Muslim faith, was that you take them to the market in a public place where everybody can see, and you take three men and they beat him and beat him and beat him and they kill him. And just by beating all the flesh off his body, you know, the most horrible way, you kill him. And there were 22 marketplaces in that town. And they proceeded to take Haridas Thakur from one marketplace to the next, because no matter how hard they beat him, he just completely quietly and calmly just kept chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And so when they saw this, the Muslims, the people around, can you imagine how you'd feel? They would say, this Srila Prabhupada being beaten, they'd be so horrified. And so all the pious Hindus, they would try to bribe the men or stop the men or themselves stand in the way. But these Muslim soldiers knew that if they don't kill him, then they'll die. So they're very, very forcefully beating him and beating him. And they finally brought him to the 22nd marketplace, the last one. And they were beating and beating, and he still remained completely calm, just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then the Muslims started to feel really deflated, because now they knew that they hadn't killed him. That meant they would die. And then when Haridas Thakur understood their inconvenience, then he said to them, "Then have no fear. Are you worried that if I'm alive, you will die? Then I will go." And so actually he just went into a kind of a transcendental state, ecstatic trance, in which he fell down and he had there were no symptoms of life. And so then they were able to come and say that actually we have succeeded in killing him. And the Qazi said, "They said, should we throw his body? Sometimes you just throw his body or bury it. You know, we should just throw him in the Ganga, because he's a proper burial is a sign of honor. You know, like putting someone in samadhi is a sign of honor. So a burial is a sign of honor. Just throw him in the Ganga." So they threw his body into the Ganga, and of course, Haridas Thakur floated downstream a little bit. And then he came out of the Ganga and he was feeling quite fine. And one may wonder, how could someone be beaten and beaten and show no horrible lashes on his back and no blood and no sign of any kind of fatigue from this violence? So later, Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip, when he exhibited the form in which he was showing the devotees that he was the supreme Bhagavan, he was not just an extraordinarily exalted person of this world, but he was Vishnu Tattva, his supreme personality of God himself. Then he showed the devotees different things, and he revealed to Haridas, he said, "You know why you got no scars on your back and no lashing on your back, and you felt no pain even though they were beating you like that? It was because when I saw that they were about to lay a hand on you, I was so angry that I was there, I was ready to raise my chakra and kill them immediately. But you kept praying and praying and praying and praying, please forgive them, please forgive them, please forgive them. So I was helpless, I couldn't kill them. So instead I covered your body with my own body, and I took the beating. And then the Lord showed his back, and he had scars on his back. He showed this to Haridas, and Haridas fell down in a faint when he saw this. So Haridas, when Lord Chaitanya was accepting sannyas and leaving, when he left and took sannyas and he came back to Advaitacharya's house, all the residents of Navadvipa were feeling like so sorry to see Lord Chaitanya go. Advaitacharya begged him, stay a little longer. Mother Sachi was the one who said that Jagannath Puri and Bengal are so intimately connected. They're very intimate. People are always going between the two. So much so that you see that most of these persons, pious people who are coming, they're from Bengal. So in that way she said, oh, people will come and go from Jagannath Puri and I'll get word of you. But as Lord Chaitanya was leaving, Haridas Thakur was weeping and weeping and weeping, and he said, what is the use of maintaining my life? You're going to Jagannath Puri and I will remain here. I have no more purpose to my life. So Lord Chaitanya told him, no, 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 no. He said, in future you will also come to Jagannath Puri. So don't lament like this. So when the first year that the Bengali devotees came, which was right after Lord Chaitanya had travelled around South India and returned to Jagannath Puri, that particular year they brought with them also Haridas Thakur. And as many of the Bengalis, they returned to Jagannath, to their place in Bengal, Haridas Thakur stayed there. So Lord Chaitanya, when he heard that he had been given the house of Kazi Mishra to live in, he approached Kazi Mishra and said, I have seen one small room. There's one room in a garden just near here, very secluded place. I want that place because I want to go there and I want to chant there in solitude. So Kazi Mishra said, my lord, of course you can have that place. But actually he wanted that place for a residence for Haridas Thakur. A single room in a solitary place. From whence Haridas Thakur could look in whichever direction, I'm not sure, and he could see the Jagannath temple, he could see the flag on top of the temple, the chakra on top of the temple, and because he would never consider to go into the temple, he would do his worship of Lord Jagannath just by seeing the flag and the chakra. And then one day Lord Chaitanya came here and he saw that he's living here in this little place, chanting 23 and a half hours, constantly chanting, practically no sleeping, just only chanting. So we can't imagine, we can hardly chant our bare minimum, to speak of constantly chanting. What to speak of chanting without eating and sleeping? We can't imagine anything more undesirable. But to Haridas Thakur, everything was contained within the quality of his chanting. And sometimes it's said that he chanted half of his rounds out loud and half of his rounds like japa or group chant. So different things are spoken of Haridas Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses Haridas Thakur to teach us about chanting in his book Harinam Chintamani, which he has composed in the form of a conversation between Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya, where Lord Chaitanya is asking Haridas Thakur questions and Haridas Thakur is speaking all the required knowledge. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya, he's lamenting that how will everyone be saved in Kali Yuga? And Haridas Thakur says, you don't have to worry about that. You know that story? Did you read that when you were reading about Haridas Thakur? When Lord Chaitanya was lamenting about how the living entities could be saved? Everyone in the universe has already been liberated by your pure chanting. They've already been saved, both the animate and inanimate living entities. And I think Haridas Thakur goes on to say about how there are ways that they chant the holy names without knowing. Like when somebody says something like Bola Rama, or sometimes you see Londra Rama, or something Rama. And sometimes you see something that has a Hare in it, a word that people say all the time, like hair. When they say the word hare, talking about a rabbit. But still, even that is considered namabhas, and people do. Because the syllables, even if they're separated, they're chanting the holy name. So Haridas Thakur was always reassuring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the powerful ways in which in Kali Yuga the people in general can be liberated by the pure chanting or even the impure chanting of the holy name. So one time Lord Chaitanya came here and he saw that it was very, very hot here where Haridas was living. And so he came from the Jagannath Mandir and he had with him a twig that's used, Lord Jagannath uses, instead of a plastic toothbrush that he cleans his teeth with, he uses a twig. And it was a twig from a neem tree, bakul tree, different trees. They use the twigs. So Lord Chaitanya took this twig that had been used by Lord Jagannath and he placed it in the ground, and from that this tree grew, which we'll see in a few moments. This is called Siddha Bakul. It is a bakul tree. Just like when we were in Navadvip, we went to Madadramdvip, we saw there Mamgachi. We saw a bakul tree, a very fat bakul tree, and it was also called Siddha Bakul. Siddha meaning that the living entity who's residing within this body of a tree is a liberated soul, not just an ordinary imprisoned living entity who's suffering in the form of a tree. So this Siddha Bakul tree, in a few moments we will circumambulate this tree, is a very, very special tree because it was planted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the twig of Lord Jagannath and it appeared miraculously. But after some time of Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, the present king of Puri at that particular time, he chose this particular tree which was very strong, had a very strong trunk, and he wanted to chop it down in order to make the wheels, I believe, you can see it's written, for the Rath cut. And so the Babaji's who were here, who were doing the worship and taking care of this sacred place, they were very much anxious and they were saying, you can't chop this tree down, this is a very sacred tree, this tree has been planted by Mahaprabhu himself. But for some reason they were not responding. And so then the night before the king's men were going to come and with the saw to chop down the tree, that whole night they prayed and prayed and prayed and performed so many austerities, praying that somehow this tree would be saved. And the story is that in the morning when they came, they saw that the tree, as you can see it now, the whole trunk of the tree had ruptured open. And the tree was no longer suitable to be cut for any purpose. It appeared to be completely damaged. So that tree, when we look at it, you see at the base it's completely ruptured. The inside of the tree, like a tree has all of its nutrients and so forth, it's completely hollow, turned outward. And still this tree is growing, and the tree has from a biological point of view, has grown down again, and it's re-rooted, and so it's coming up again. But still, it is very, very extraordinary transcendental phenomena, this particular tree. And so when we come here, we like to, which we'll do, we'll circumambulate around here, and around here, and then outside and around this tree, and come back around here, and come in here, and circumambulate around both Haridas Thakur and this Bakul tree. And daily Lord Chaitanya would come here, and he'd come and bring prasadam for Haridas Thakur, and he would sit with him and ask him, what is the news? And he would tell Lord Chaitanya any realizations he had, and they would speak together for a long time. And Haridas Thakur was very, very humble and very, very quiet and would just stay here. He would think that if I would walk on the street, then the dust that comes up from my feet, it will come up and it will touch people's bodies and they will become contaminated by my association, so I should just stay here. But he didn't stay here in a kind of morose, neurotic, self-pitying, self-indulgent, self-absorbed way. But he stayed here and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted, chanted and chanted and chanted the holy names here every day. And sometimes Srila Rupa Goswami would also stay here. Do you remember anything about that you can tell in brief?
Received instruction from Lord Chaitanya. Mahaprabhu told him that he should go to Vrindavan, base himself there, and uncover the holy places and write Shastra, Bhakti Shastra, And Rupa Goswami went to Vrindavan. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was trying to himself journey to Vrindavan, and then Rupa Goswami heard that he hadn't gone and that he'd gone back, that he was back in Puri. So Rupa Goswami set out to join the devotees from Bengal to come down to Puri. But he missed them, so he came alone. And he arrived in Puri and immediately came here to stay with Haridas Thakur. That was because he also, Rupa Goswami, considered himself very lowly, because even though he was born a Brahmana and of good birth, high birth, he considered himself extremely fallen because he had taken up the service of the Muslim king, the Nawab, as a minister. So he therefore considered himself to be unworthy of association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and unworthy of being... also, he didn't enter the Jagannath temple for the same reason, that he didn't feel he was fit. So he came here also to be with Haridas Thakur. And then Mahaprabhu came, as he would do every day, and Haridas Thakur said, Rupa Goswami is here, and Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him. It was an ecstasy to see him here. And he inquired from Rupa Goswami about his brother, and Rupa Goswami informed him that his brother Anupam had left this world. And then he... Rupa Goswami stayed here for some time, and he continued working on these writings that he had initiated when he was in Vrindavan. He started working on a play to describe Krishna's pastimes in both Vrindavan and Dwarka. So he was writing verses as a drama to depict Krishna's pastimes. And there had been an incident on his way to Puri where Satyabhama had appeared to him in a dream when he stopped in one village called Satyabhama Puri, and Satyabhama herself appeared and said, don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan, write separately Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. So then when Rupa Goswami came here also, Mahaprabhu said the same thing to him. He said, don't try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. And then Rupa Goswami understood his confirmation. So he then adjusted to writing two different separate dramas, which are known as Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. They're famous works of Rupa Goswami, very poetic works. So Rupa Goswami continued working on those right here in this place. He continued writing them. And then there were instances where Lord Chaitanya would come with his intimate associates, Srup Damodar, Ramanandaruri, and they would ask Rupa Goswami to speak what he was writing, and he was very shy. He didn't want to do it out of humility. And then Mahaprabhu would have Srup Damodar read something that he had written. And because Mahaprabhu had already instructed Ramanandaruri at Godavari, and they had shared very high topics. Ramanandaruri was very fascinated to hear the topics that Rupa Goswami wrote about in these dramas. They were very exalted. Talk about that one. Yeah. Also, so when Rupa Goswami was here, he went on, Mahaprabhu went on Rath Yatra, and Rupa Goswami was able to attend and see Jagannath for the Rath Yatra and see Mahaprabhu on Rath Yatra. And there was one verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would recite when he was before the Rath Yatra procession, and it was a very confidential verse describing the sentiments of Radharani when when she goes to Kurukshetra. She leaves Vrindavan to go and see Krishna with the other residents of Vrindavan in Kurukshetra, and that's the actual setting of Rath Yatra. It's the residents of Vrindavan encouraging Krishna, please come back to Vrindavan, you've been away so long and we've come here, but it's not the same. We're here in Kurukshetra and you're now on your chariot as the king of Dwarka with your brother and sister, and we're just longing for you to come back to Vrindavan, back to the forest of Vrindavan, and again that you should be there as the son of Maharaj Nanda and we can engage in sweet pastimes with you. So Mahaprabhu would be reciting this verse, which was in that particular sentiment that Radharani had at Kurukshetra, and not many, only Srup Dhamara actually understood the mood, and he would try to assist Mahaprabhu in sentiment. Then so when Rupa Goswami heard that verse, he compiled a verse in the same sentiment. He compiled his own verse supporting that sentiment, and he wrote it on a palm leaf. Here, he wrote it here and put it up in the roof of his. He had his own little kutia. Haridas Thakur had his kutia, and Rupa Goswami had his own kutia. So Rupa Goswami because he's very humble about what he'd done, so he put it up in the thatching of his kutia and went off down to the sea to bathe. Mahaprabhu, being all-knowing, he came and he pulled the verse out and he read it. And he was in ecstasy. He couldn't believe what Rupa Goswami had written, that he had so much perfectly complimented his own feelings, his own deep feelings in that way. And So he was, Mahaprabhu was struck to read this verse that Rupa Goswami had compiled. And that verse is contained in those works that Rupa Goswami was working on, those dramas. Both verses are in there. Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava.
There's another verse that Rupa Goswami
wrote,
if they like.
One time Mahaprabhu came, as I said, and they were encouraging Rupa Goswami to read from his works that he was working on. And he read the first verse of one of those dramas, and it was a verse describing that there's so much nectar in these two syllables, Krish and Na. So much nectar is there in these two syllables. And when all the devotees heard, it's a very poetic verse, it goes on there's so much nectar in these syllables, Krishna, and therefore I desire that if I could have hundreds of thousands of mouths and hundreds of thousands of ears to constantly taste this nectar, that's my desire. And again, the devotees were struck to hear the writings of Rupa Goswami.
So then one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Govinda here. Govinda was his servant. And he came to check and get news about Haridas Thakur. And when Govinda came, he saw that he came with Mahaprasad, but he saw that Haridas Thakur was lying down, very slowly chanting his rounds. So Govinda said to him, get up, please take some Mahaprasad. And Haridas Thakur said, I cannot take any Mahaprasad today because I haven't chanted my prescribed number of rounds. And then he said, but also I cannot refuse the Mahaprasad when it comes. So then he accepted a small amount of the Mahaprasad. So Govinda returned to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he described what he had seen when he was there. He'd seen Haridas Thakur. And later, when Lord Chaitanya came, he said, he talked to Haridas and he said, Haridas, you're not well. Can you describe the symptoms of your sickness? He said, my body is all right, but my mind is not well. He said, and what are the symptoms of your sickness? He said, my symptom of my sickness is that I cannot complete my prescribed number of rounds. Then Lord Chaitanya said to him, but Haridas, you are so elderly and you chant so many rounds. So if you want, you can reduce your number. You're in such strict regulation. You're already a liberated soul. You can reduce the number of your rounds. But Haridas said, no, but I actually wish to tell you what is really in my heart, what is really on my mind. And he explained to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I have a feeling, I have an intuition that very soon you are going to finish, complete your pastimes in this world. And I don't want to see that final pastime. I don't want to be here then. So I request that you will let me in front of you, lie down on the ground, and in front of you, with you there before my eyes, I may chant Hare Krishna and leave this world. And Lord Chaitanya said something to the effect that Haridas, my pleasure is seeing you. You cannot possibly speak like this. Then Lord Chaitanya left. And the rest of that pastime we're going to tell in another place. Because this pastime leads into the passing of Haridas Thakur. And we have the good fortune being here in Jagannath Puri to first of all sit here where Lord Chaitanya came and visited Haridas, and Haridas chanted and chanted and chanted. And then after being here, we can go to Srila Haridas Thakur's Samadhi on the sea beach. And then if we organize ourselves right, we can also then go and take bath in the ocean, just where Haridas Thakur's body was bathed, just near the Samadhi, because Lord Chaitanya said that place has become a great pilgrimage place. So we should take a bath there and receive the mercy of Haridas Thakur in that way. And I think what we should do now is we should circumambulate around and then we can maybe have a little more kirtan and then prepare to go to the devotee's place where we'll be taking prasad.